those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com and Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network, this is Blogulator Radio. I'm Qualler.
I am Bridget.
And our opinions are valid.
Yes, they are.
We talk about TV every week here at the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. And this week we are talking about the return and first 4 weeks of one of our favorite shows.
Parenthood.
We dance it out.
Yeah, we love the theme song.
We're not afraid to dance it out.
It's a little Dylan, right?
It's a little Dylan.
Little Bob Dylan.
Little Bob Dylan. Yeah, we're not afraid to dance it out when the theme song comes on. And Bridget, this is one of the only shows that we generally watch when it's live on TV.
Yes, it's the only show that I will put aside my work for, and that hour is for Parenthood.
It is all for the Braverman family.
That hour is for feeling things.
That hour is for yes.
Thinking about life and love.
It's about setting aside time for family, because
I won't do that for my real family.
No, but I'll do that for the Bravermans, because the Bravermans are kind of also my family.
The Bravermans are kind of the family everyone wishes they had.
I was telling you this the other day, is when Parenthood is on, I kind of feel like I'm part of their family.
Yes, I believe you had an analogy that compared it to another show we enjoy, Friday Night Lights. I think Waller said that Parenthood is to families as Friday Night Lights is to communities.
Yeah.
So when you're watching Friday Night Lights, one of the things that you like so much about that show is you really start to feel like you're a part of that fictional community.
Right.
Of Dylan, East Dylan.
Texas.
Yeah. And when you're watching Parenthood, you really start to feel like you're part of the Braverman family.
You're kind of upper middle class. Live in a really sweet house in Northern California, and
liberal, ex-hippie.
Everyone always great meals.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might get together on Saturdays to watch the game and have a meal and get the whole fam together.
Yeah.
You know, trials and tribulations.
They do have a lot of great meals, don't they?
They really do. It's definitely one of the more underrated parts.
And it's one of the families where they also always have awesome looking breakfasts.
Yeah.
Or they're out at a diner together eating an awesome-looking breakfast.
Yeah, they have great diners.
Like, so many pancakes on that show.
Yeah, what city are they?
It's in Berkeley, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
I want to go to Berkeley.
I want to go to Berkeley, too.
I want to live there, and
I want to have enough money to buy the home that they have in Berkeley. Maybe they're supposed to be outside of Berkeley. I think
all you have to do is be...
What do they do?
An unemployed toy factory... executive, which is what Peter Krause's Adam Braverman does. A bartender who dabbles in playwriting, which is what Sarah Braverman does.
Well, she lives with her parents, so.
Right. Does she? I guess I never realized that.
You never realized that? That's the premise for the whole show.
Well, I guess I've never seen her. I never put that together. I always assumed she was in her own house. Anyway.
Like, on their property or something?
She lives in their
guest house.
Okay.
It's not a guest house. It's like a garage, their barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, how could you not have...
I don't know. You could be an attorney.
Premise of the whole show.
Okay, okay. That's over. It's a long time ago. The premise is long gone.
Whatever.
What does Dax Shepard do?
Recording. Engineer. Sound engineer.
You could be a pseudo sound engineer. Or you could be an attorney, like you mean.
Oh, yeah. Second. Oh, okay. Whitney.
Yeah.
Right?
Way to go, America.
So,
you're idiots.
When you said the second highest rated show on Thursdays, I heard highest rated show on NBC.
Well, it's definitely
and
up there.
I threw up a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's so bad. Are you listening?
I really wanted
Don't
to...
watch it.
I really feel like I gave Whitney a pretty fair shake.
Yeah, I think we've given it a couple fair shakes.
And no.
Offensively bad. But anyway, back to Paradise.
Well, I like the star, the Chris What's-Him-Face. I think he's got promise.
The guy?
And, yeah, and I think it's better to have a show that has a distinct point of view, like Whitney, than like an offensively bad stereotype driven show, like Outsourced.
But this is an offensively bad stereotype driven show. It is a I don't understand how you don't think that Whitney is a stereotype driven show.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
in comparing it to Outsourced.
Well, it's what I meant was compared to Outsourced, where there isn't a point of view per se that is distinct and it's all about stereotypes. Instead, Whitney, at least, is from Whitney's point of view.
But she, yeah.
And there's a kind of an auteur, at least, even though it's an auteur that I think is not very funny.
Yeah.
Although I follow her on Twitter, and she's not unfunny.
The actress?
Yeah. Whitney Cummings.
I don't know how we got off.
Yeah, let's talk about Parenthood again.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about Whitney
I don't
anymore.
Either.
It's just not good.
So, Parenthood is on episode number 4 of season number 3.
Yes.
And how do you think it's holding up compared to the first two seasons, Qualler? Because we've been fans from the beginning, pretty much.
I think it's really starting to come into its own in the third season. I think the first season was kind of hit or miss. It was enjoyable, but not quite appointment viewing. I think in the second season... especially in that middle section when we started getting more kind of stakes at hand with the revelation of Max's autism, Asperger's syndrome, and then I think the second season kind of totally crashed and burned. Not totally, but it crashed and burned a little bit. I think in the sense that it was trying to wrap up as many loose ends as possible in case it didn't get picked up for third season.
I see what you're saying.
But all of those worries that I had at the end of the season, the second season, were assuaged rather quickly the third season premiere. One of the big worries that I had was Crosby and Jasmine appeared to be headed right down a road of reconciliation, and all he had to do was buy a crappy house. And then in the third season premiere, that was kind of like, oh, actually, no, they didn't get back together. So they kind of just forgot about that, which I was happy about. What else? They definitely forgot about Sarah's writing career, which...
Yeah, what happened
with
that? Although
okay
they did bring it up in the most recent episode.
They did, yeah. And then they justifiably brought Michael B. Jordan in to be a slightly more major character, and also made, so far this season, Hattie is a lot more interesting than she ever
Hattie
was in the first
two. Hattie is way more interesting than she was in the first two, and cuter.
Yeah, way cuter. Even with
good
that hair.
Good for you, costumes people.
Even with that hair that everyone seems to hate.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, everyone on Twitter seems to really hate it. I don't totally hate it either. Although that first episode where it's kind of like a wet poodle haircut that she's got going.
Are you just reclaiming tweets?
No. Well, sort of. Thanks, everybody. No. And actually, we asked Chris about that. Chris teaches high school in his day job, and he said that hairstyle, that particular hairstyle, is indeed popular with the kids.
Oh, so it's
these
coming
days.
Back?
So it's, yeah, so it's not just like a...
it seemed very, like...
like Ally Sheedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's cool again.
Hmm.
I'm so disconnected with teenagers.
I know.
But yeah, I'm really happy that...
I couldn't be any older.
Yeah. I really think that the Adam and Crosby getting a recording studio plot has really paid dividends for both characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than one would think that particular...
Yeah, I think Adam last year was kind of stuck in I'm being a conservative, downer guy. And this year, he's still kind of that, but, like, the little signs of him being an actually pretty cool guy are coming out, especially at the end of the last episode that was on. That last scene where Crosby and Adam were jamming out in the recording studio together and just having a really great time might be the first Goosebumps-type scene where I feel goosebumps that were so common in Jason Kadam's other show, Friday Night Lights.
Huh. You know, that was like, the first scene that gave you the goosebumps?
I think the first scene that really strongly gave me a similar feeling that the best scenes in Friday Night Lights gave me.
That's interesting.
So, Bridget, what do you think?
I am so far really, you know, pleased as punch with this season. I like that they picked up after a certain amount of time had passed.
Yeah.
I like that they're kind of so, you know, and I know that's a complaint that some people have in terms of like, you know, 6 months later, so remember all those problems we were dealing with? Or it's actually more like 8 months later, right?
Yeah.
7 months later, maybe.
Because the baby that we found out about, Christina's baby, at the end of the second season, we just found out she was pregnant, and it picked up, and she was, like,
she's
super
eight.
Pregnant.
She's 8 months pregnant now, yeah. So the complaint, I think, is often, well, all those little things will kind of resolve themselves, and we're not picking up where we left off, and, you know, kind of a cop-out. But I like when they do that because it allows for this season to be full of its own new problems without leaning too much on what happened at the end of the last season. So I appreciate that kind of lapse in time. I like that we didn't have to see the whole, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, you're pregnant? Oh, let's all deal with that. And I like that we didn't have to see the whole, oh, my sister-in-law is pregnant and I'm trying to get pregnant and that makes me sad. Like, And I'm glad we didn't have to see the whole Amber slowly getting her life kind of together.
Right.
And,
we kind of forgot about Amber in her car accident near the end of the season, which also seemed kind of very network-driven, like something big has to happen at the end of a season that didn't really feel like it fit with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's kind of past that, and we don't really talk about it much.
It was mentioned a couple times, I think, but you know, we don't have to dwell on things,
right?
Just like in real families,
exactly.
But so far I've been really happy with these four episodes. I like the new baby plot twist more than I generally like that particular plot twist, and I don't know what exactly is making it work for them. Maybe because they're not focusing on it that much. I mean, it's a big part of their lives, the way it would be in anyone's life.
Yeah,
but it's not been ridiculous so far.
Yeah, and if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, which they kind of did in the first episode, that Joel and Julia's plot, which it always kind of feels like it's off on its own tangent, would be that Julia would try to adopt a baby from the coffee girl and at her law firm. I think what Chris said in an email was that he didn't want to see Juno, the TV show. Actually, he said that in a Blogulator comment.
Blogulator.com.
Yes, there you go. But it really hasn't been ridiculous, which...
No, it's actually been, I thought...
Rather touching.
Again, kind of touching, fairly realistic, unlike Juno.
Right.
IMHO. Or I think the kids just say IMO now.
Oh,
I don't think they're humble.
They're not humble anymore?
No, because we've been working on self-esteem.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Thanks,
good
America.
For the kids.
So we have Julie, who's been trying to get pregnant.
Julia,
I can never remember her name. Erica Christensen. Unsuccessfully.
Swim Girl.
Swim Fan,
sorry.
What a movie.
Swim Fan.
What a movie. That actually might have been one of the two movies in my life that I've ever stopped watching midway through.
What?
That I was like, you know what?
Oh, I watched
I'm not
the shit out
it.
Of that movie.
Really?
I watched it by myself.
Oh,
And I loved it. It was great.
That makes me feel sad.
Yeah, sorry. Keep going.
You watched it by yourself.
I rented it between, I think, freshman and sophomore year of college.
One of those summers.
One of those summers when I had nothing to do but watch movies by myself. Oh. Sorry. Before
now
I met you.
Now I feel even more sad.
Sorry. Go on. Forget that aside.
I don't even want to talk about parenthood anymore.
Joel and Julia, go.
So they've been trying to get pregnant, unable to become pregnant, and, of course, a young girl who sells coffee at her firm.
I wish I had a coffee cart driving around at my workplace.
I do, too.
My God.
Julia is...
You live such an awesome life,
her
Julia.
Her character is one of those television characters that makes me feel like, man, I should have gone to law school, even though I know that that's totally not what being a lawyer
right.
is like.
I also have
many friends who can attest to that fact.
I also want to know, like, she must be, like, the best freaking lawyer out there, because she's, like, probably... I want to say her character is probably our age, probably late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And she has her own office. Like,
yeah, she's obviously already worked
office.
Her way to an excellent
she's
spot
like
in a law firm.
She's, like, basically a partner at
this
law firm.
She's,
and yet
you know,
she doesn't ever, like, practice law.
No, she doesn't seem to be doing... She goes over briefs, I think.
Yeah.
Or she took people out to dinner for a while, remember?
That's right.
When that was a
yeah.
subplot.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, so her... Julia... I want your television career. I always want television careers, though, because we never actually see them doing work.
Right.
Unless
that's
the focus of
that's true.
The show. So I want to be a Julia lawyer.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Let's both be Julia lawyers.
Be Julia lawyers,
yeah.
And we just buy coffee all day.
I wonder if you can major that in that in law school. Like,
do you think so?
Julia law.
We should ask Jerksica.
Julia Braverman.
Jerksica, are you listening?
Yeah.
Can we be Julia Braverman lawyers? Is that
Hook
a thing?
Hook us up.
Yeah.
Hook us up.
Because of coffee.
For sure. It's all about the coffee.
So anyway, this girl who works in her office, yada, 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 she's pregnant. She's going to give it up for adoption. Julia's all, I'm going to ask her if I can buy her baby. Which, of course, she doesn't ask, but that's the way the whole family's joking about it. And the girl says no, of course.
I think what sticks out to me and the first point where I was like, actually, I think I can take this plot seriously, is right away when she... floated the idea to her husband Joel, and he was like, that's ridiculous, you want to buy a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it was kind of like that meta level of like, we the viewer were like, that's ridiculous, why would she buy a baby? And then Joel the character is like, that's ridiculous, why would you buy a baby?
Well, here's the thing about buying the baby, right, is that Julia's character, Julia also knows that it's ridiculous that she's not going to buy a baby. And when she actually asks about it, she asks, would you consider letting me adopt your baby?
Right. And
she
then
doesn't
she,
say, can I buy
right.
your baby?
Right.
And I feel like the fact that like that's how they talk about it at home is kind of the way that if I were Julia, I would joke about it with you, caller, or with our friends. And I'd be like, so I totally am going to ask this girl if I can buy her baby. And
right.
that's my like... jokey way of letting everyone know that I'm totally uncomfortable with this, and maybe I know
but
it's
like,
a
little... But, like, seriously, you might actually...
But, like, seriously, I'm gonna... Right. So,
yeah.
like, obviously, I'm not gonna ask her to buy the baby. That's the ridiculous way to phrase it, but...
Right.
And I'm not describing... I'm not being very articulate right now, but something about that felt very genuine about the way, like, families, like, and friends, like, joke around about stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, if she had actually said, can I buy your baby, that would have been... ridiculous, and it wouldn't have been parenthood because it would have been too unrealistic.
Right.
But she said, would you consider letting me adopt your baby when this girl is talking about the process she's going through with an agency about, you know, finding adoptive parents. And so, like, the even though it's still a ridiculous thing, it wasn't unrealistic.
Well, and then it becomes
so
more
it wasn't,
realistic.
So you sympathize with Julia
yeah.
and with the coffee shop girl.
And it becomes more realistic when we learn the reason why she doesn't want to do that is because she wants to have a closed adoption.
Right.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it,
and now they can kind of move on from that point and...
Right. And
so
assumingly end up adopting the baby.
I don't think they're going to end up adopting the baby.
So.
I think... Okay, if I were the writers, this is where I would go with that.
Sure.
Is, okay... viewers, you think that we're going to do some crazy ridiculous plot twist and have Julia adopt this baby because she can't have a baby. This girl has a baby and doesn't want one. And isn't that always the way it works out in television and movies?
It seems like that would
like,
solve
well,
it
there
a
we
little
go.
Too easily.
Let's just,
you're right.
You have a baby and I want a baby. The laws
right.
of supply and demand are clear here. But no, what I think instead is that this is if I'm one of the writers, again, I don't know if this is where they're going, I would have used that as sort of a red herring plot device.
Sure.
For the viewers, but also as a way to make this coffee shop character a character through which we learn more about what Julia is going through.
Sure.
So I thought that was actually not so much a plot device as a character development thing.
Yeah.
That let us see, like, okay, here's Julia. She's really upset because she can't have a baby. She recognizes how ridiculous it is to ask the girl if she can have her baby, but that's maybe the level of desperation and just the level of, like, frustration and hopelessness that she's at. I mean, it's
sure.
Like, it shows us something about how Julie's feeling. And Julia, I keep calling her, Julia is not, like, a super emotional character the way Heather Graham. What's her name?
What?
Is Heather Graham in this show?
No.
No.
Lauren Graham.
Yeah. Sarah.
So
I feel like Sarah's character is more emotional. She's more open about how she's feeling. Julia doesn't really talk. She's not going to say, like, I feel so sad that I'm infertile.
Right.
So, like, this is kind of a nice way of,
she's,
like,
a little more sensible.
Getting a peek into, like, wow, she's feeling really sad.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? And
sure.
So I think maybe this is going to be another friendship for her, another way of her to kind of, for her to work through things. I don't think that she's actually going to end up adopting that girl's baby. I hope she doesn't.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would be a little too lifetimey for me.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
She could always offer to take Christine's baby if it has Asperger's, because they're so worried about that.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I get that. If you have a kid who has Asperger's, but, like, I don't know, of all the things to have wrong with your kid, like, Asperger's isn't that bad.
Yeah, but it's
watch
not
the
that
phones
bad,
ringing off the hook now, all the parents with Asperger's. But
it's not that bad, but I think, awkward segue alert, that we've seen kind of the struggles that Max has been going through.
Oh, that
as,
has been
as
great.
Adam and Christina
I love
have been
that Max is becoming more and more
Max.
Of a character.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and as an aside, I like that the actor who plays Max is starting to go through a little bit of puberty himself.
Yes.
He's getting a little older.
He's
little boy.
A little
remember when you were
a little awkward.
Remember when you were Gabriel Byrne's son? In treatment.
So, okay, I just want to say, kind of step back and re-say what I said.
Sorry, go ahead.
So it's not that it's, it's not that I don't think that that would be a realistic worry or that would be such a bad thing, but it is kind of weird, strange to have them be like, wow, I really hope this baby isn't just like Max. I hope the baby is just like our other child who's normal.
Right.
Which makes me feel like there's a part of Christine and
Adam
who are still not accepting Max for Max.
Yeah.
Like, they still wish that Max were fixed. And Asperger, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there are advantages that Max will have, which I believe we learned about in one of the episodes, as a different way to look at what Asperger's is, right?
Right, yeah.
So in some ways it's, you know, they could be more like, well, Max has all these different gifts and, like, mainstreaming socialization is difficult for him, but I don't know how much does he care about the socialization, or is it because we keep putting pressures on him to be normal? I'm now speaking for Christine, because that's what this show
does. We, as
the
Braverman family.
Right, because we're part of this family. What can we do? No, so I feel a little frustrated, I guess, that they're so worried that this baby might have Asperger's instead of...
Yeah.
That they're still looking at us as something that's so negative, when it really seems like it's a lot harder on them than it is for Max.
I think that's a valid enough reason for them to be worried about it.
That it's hard on them.
Is that because it is very hard on them. It's challenging for them. It's challenging for their marriage. It's challenging for...
I think Sarah would be handling it better.
There's no doubt she would. And I'm not saying that Adam and Christina shouldn't try to improve on their coping skills, but...
Is this really what we're doing now? We're now talking about them as if they're real people.
They are real, Bridget.
They're so real to me. I love them so much. Okay, we should talk about it as a show. It's a show that we like.
But that's the fact that we can talk about it this way is indicative that it's becoming a very, very good show.
Becoming a big part of our lives, at any rate.
It is. It's slowly morphing into our...
And I think we started to talk about this, but...
I wish there were a virtual Braverman family sitting around.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be fun?
Right,
like,
now.
Holograms?
Yeah.
down here.
Work on it, NBC. You love all that synergy crap.
Yeah, we could. People could buy like
synergize my NBC
life for like a half an hour at a time.
Yeah, like dinner with maybe
dinner with the Brewermans.
Maybe just like invite Zeke over to give some wacky
advice.
Old man advice.
Yeah. Oh, Zeke, I wish you were my dad.
Me too.
Except for my real dad, who
yeah,
I love.
He's great.
So we do like, as far as, again, we're talking about it as a show, not humans. We like that Max is becoming...
Yeah, and, like, the fact that he is, he's in real school,
Real.
I don't mean to say that.
Mainstream.
He's being
normal
mainstream.
School. He's with normal kids. He's
right.
Normal.
And he, like, it's so both touching and so sad at the same time that his only friends are... Jabbar and his little friends, because
like what three,
they're like
four
seven
years younger.
Maybe he's like Jabbar is like six, and Max is like
Jabbar's not that young.
13.
Jabbar's probably like eight.
Okay, eight. Yeah, I guess that's
and
right.
And Max is probably like 11
Jabbar
or 12.
Was like five when the show started,
and
so
Max
I guess,
is like probably like supposed
yeah.
to be like 11.
But it's still like so.
It's sad.
And it's so like yeah, it's so real also because I. You know, kids go through that kind of stuff where, like, Asperger's or not, like, there are some kids that aren't able to make friends as easily as other friends, and like, from the parental perspective, which I think Bridget and I are starting to understand more and more the older we get,
uh-huh.
and, like, it is really challenging to see... what do you do when your child isn't making friends? Like, for me, I would probably do what Adam does, which is like, well, you gotta be friends with whoever is friends with you, and like, it's all...
What does Adam do?
Well, Adam, I think he looks at Max's friendship with Jabbar, and I think he deep down realizes Max shouldn't be hanging on to Jabbar because there's a big age difference there, but I don't care because I just want him to be friends with somebody, and mm-hmm. like I
so
feel
it's
like
it's important for Adam that Max had friends, maybe
yeah.
even more important than it is to Max.
Yeah.
And Adam, see, and this is where I get back to my critique of Adam and Christine as not as characters because they work really well in the show, but as people, which okay, so like they would be the ones
again,
in the family.
We're psychoanalyzing
that,
what right. these characters,
well,
fictional
and I
characters.
Think, I think it works so well in the show because like instead of just writing them off, like so when we first started watching Parenthood, I was like, oh, I'm just not gonna like those characters, and like they still do things that annoy me, but now I feel the way that I feel when my brother does something that annoys me.
Right.
Right.
Or
so
like when your dad
you
is talking too
off.
Loud, or
oh,
like
he talks
breathes
so loud.
Loud.
Stop breathing so loud, but. So I feel like they're put a lot of pressure on everyone to be kind of perfect in their family and kind of normal. And
yeah.
so that's all the pressure on Max to be perfect and normal. Oh, and this is what's so great, too, is that you can see these glimpses. These characters are written so well and the acting is so good. But I think I'm going to attribute most of it to the writing. Sorry, actors. But they're written so well that there are these moments where you can see that they're siblings, that they're related. Because then some of those same character traits that Adam has... you can see in Julia,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
In the way that she interacts with people and with her family. And,
yeah. I think you got to give the cast some credit, though, too. I mean,
yeah,
they work
no,
really well
true.
Together. They have great chemistry. Their chemistry has developed a lot in the past two seasons, and now I feel like the show, maybe it's a difference between now that we've watched so much Parenthood versus having had a lot of episodes, but I think the show... just is really humming along at a pretty good pace or whatever you would say there.
not that.
Yeah, whatever. I would like to know, and I'd be really interested to find out if any of this kind of uptick in quality has anything to do with the fact that now that Friday Night Lights is totally over, that the writing staff, which I think most of the writing staff is the same on Parenthood as it was on Friday Night Lights, if now that they can kind of just totally focus on Parenthood, if that has made a difference in how they write it or like how
that's a good question.
Somebody who's connected to who can get an interview with them, I'd really
yeah,
like
tweet
it if
at
you
us.
Could do that.
Yeah. Actually, you know, just, yeah, for other people out there, I know we're not the only fans of Friday Night Lights and Parenthood. What do you think the change has been in this new season, and could that be connected to the ending of Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Tweet at us? Is that a thing people can do?
Yeah. You can tweet at us at Blogulator Radio, or I'm on Twitter at Mark Qualler, MarQualler. Yeah, and I'll probably be reaching out to people to try to find out as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious.
So many questions.
So many questions.
And you know, life is all about asking questions. I think Zeke would tell us that.
I think he would.
I think he would have something to say about questions.
Yeah.
Ever since what now?
Oh, ever since Jason Kadams won that Emmy for Friday Night Lights a few weeks back, which was awesome, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of on a roll. So, way to go, Emmys.
Way to go.
Way to go.
Way to go. No, yeah, so Parenthood, we like the new baby with Christine and Adam. We like the Adam and Crosby thing. We like the Max and Jabbar thing. We like the Julia and Coffee Girl thing.
I guess the only
Julia's husband isn't getting a whole lot of play.
No, that's fine. Joel. I guess the only plot that I'm sort of bored with is Sarah and the creepy English teacher again.
That's a little boring.
I don't know if it's just that
I... Why is he so creepy?
Jason Ritter, John Ritter's son, who is that teacher... But yeah, why do you have that mustache that's not connected to the rest of your goatee? It makes you look like a creepy freaking pirate.
Yeah, or it looks like a child molester.
Yeah, like a pirate child molester.
That's the worst combination.
Bad facial hair. Yeah.
It's creep.
Just shave it off, dude. It's not doing you any favors.
But speaking of Sarah and the teacher, I do really enjoy that our little buddy Drew is getting more.
Oh, God. Plans. Drew is so cute.
And he's... that sounded like a creepy pirate child molester.
I know. Not denying it.
But he's so cute.
He's so... Yeah.
I feel like Drew is my teenage son.
Yeah. Drew, starting to go on dates is just, the most heartwarming, adorable thing ever.
It's like a puppy licking a kitten.
Yeah. Because, I totally remember where he, where he is on the show now is totally where I was at that same age with, dating. The whole, I don't know if I should call her because it's going to be, when he said, that was the most terrifying, the most scary thing I've ever done in my entire life. I totally get where you are, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
But now we can totally get where Zeke is coming from, too, because we're grown-ups.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like such a big fucking deal.
That's pretty funny.
And so at the same time, you understand where Drew's coming from, but you also understand Zeke just being like, what's hard about it? Just go talk to her. Stop being stupid.
Yeah. But also, Zeke kind of having, a knowing chuckle to himself about his struggles, because he knows that, like the circle of life that we all go through, Bridget is shaking. I get a little misty-eyed every time I see the Lion King commercials, because it's so beautiful, the circle of life. Where was I going with this?
Youth is wasted on the young. I think Zeke would say that.
I think he would.
Oh, the thing that I'm kind of bored with is the mom. What's her name?
Oh, man. Bonnie Bedelia.
Yeah, but...
The actress.
The character.
Yeah, what is it?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah. I think the last episode with her being jealous of Zeke because she didn't ever follow her dreams the way Zeke did. I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah, but didn't she already do that?
Yeah, she kind of did. It's kind of repeating the same.
And it's like, you're still unfulfilled?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Although, I forgive her because it's she's just has kind of a comforting presence that I can... Camille is her name.
Camille, that's right.
Never knew that.
You never knew that? I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, she has kind of a comforting presence there, if you will.
Uh-huh. I will.
But yeah, I totally know what you mean.
I wonder if Amber's character is going to do more.
Yeah, I really
Hattie's
like
gotten
Amber.
A lot more play. I am so sad that Hattie and Vince That's not really his name Alex. On this show. Alex broke up.
Played by Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the other goosebumps-raising scenes was when...
when he was saying goodbye to...
Yeah. And part of that, I think it's just that Michael B. Jordan is such a great actor.
Yeah.
And also a credit to the writing because...
Michael B. Jordan, Bridget B. loving him.
Yeah. Yeah, because when the first... episode of the new season came on and he was like arrested for punching somebody, I was kind of like, oh boy, the black man is getting arrested and he probably has a criminal past, and they sort of went down that road, but then it went unexpected when their relationship kind of disintegrated after yeah. that. And it was really heartbreaking when he kind of split off from mm-hmm. the Bravermans. It's very sad.
It was very sad. I hope that's not the end of him.
Yeah, and it was really interesting because that was like kind of the first time too that Adam started kind of standing up for him.
Yeah. Yes.
Where before he was always telling Hattie, "You shouldn't date this guy. You don't know anything about him. He used to be an alcoholic. You're in high school. He's not." And then he actually started kind of. Realizing this guy is actually a pretty good kid.
I think Adam has grown the most since the show started.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I'm proud of you, Adam.
And now that he's not working at the toy factory with the slacker boss.
It wasn't a toy factory, they made shoes.
I know. But it was a toy factory before it got bought.
And then was it a toy factory?
It was a toy factory when it started, and then the slacker guy bought the company.
No, it was always a shoe company.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I like toys better.
The toy company didn't know that Sarah lived at home. What show do you watch?
Okay, just leave me alone.
I like the part where the robots came in.
Yeah, shut up. And the zombies. So, Parenthood. What do we give it? We give it a thumbs up?
I give it two thumbs up. I give it an A- for the season so far.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
It's midterm.
Midterm grade, I guess, 4 episodes out of the 18.
Uh-huh.
You're doing well so far, Parenthood. You're doing well. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it up.
We'll keep watching.
Give us some more of those goosebumps-raising scenes, and you might get yourself an A.
Mm-hmm. And fewer of the creepy teacher and Camille not feeling fulfilled.
Yeah. Because who cares?
We care, but
in a knowing familial kind of way where we talk about it, but we won't bring it up to Camille herself.
Right.
Like families do.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that is the end of another episode of Blogulator Radio. Just a reminder that if you go to bit.ly/blogflix, you can get a 2-week trial membership to Netflix.
And I would
for
do
free.
That.
And every time you do that, you're also supporting Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network for every trial membership you get. You don't even have to stick with it for more than 2 weeks. Although you certainly could if you wanted, because after that it's only $7.99 a month.
I would stick with it, or I would at least do the trial, if nothing else. Frasier.
Yeah, Frasier is on Netflix.
Frasier's
now.
On Netflix and so now. And yeah.
And Cheers. But which we've been continuing to watch. Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Do it.
It's good. It's good stuff. So,
You'll never be lonely again.
Exactly. From all of us at theblogulator.com, this is Qualler.
This is Bridget.
And...
Our opinions are valid.
See you next week.